Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Lynn Padet. Padetti, a semi-retired entrepreneur, lifestyle designer, and founder of Outsourcing Angel. Lynn helps entrepreneurs escape the grind and live intentional, fulfilling lives. At 38, she achieved semi-retirement by scaling her business to operate without her daily involvement. As a single mom, she turned her quest for freedom into a thriving business focusing on operational efficiency, virtual assistants, and marketing. Lynn now dedicates her time to guiding others towards the same freedom and balance. I've asked her to join us here today to share her story and insights into how we can design our ideal lives and achieve true work-life harmony. So Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for the beautiful intro.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's an honor and pleasure to have you here. Now, the one thing I do like to ask everybody before we get into kind of your story, I guess it's maybe the beginning of your story. How did you even get into entrepreneurship? Were your parents entrepreneurs? Were they business professionals or marketing and sales?
Yeah, that's a really great question. The answer is nil. Neither of everything. Parents were not entrepreneurs. They actually were even people that had really strong opinion and said to me, you're never going to succeed. Why can't you be normal? Why can't you keep with your job? And so they've never met anyone that was wealthy or rich or business owners. Mm-hmm. So then in their world, they just could not see that. Mm-hmm. Somehow God gave me this faith in me that I was going to be successful. Did I know I wanted to be a business owner? Not really. It was until working in the corporate world where you just feel straight away that you couldn't control your future. It was dependent on the manager, dependent on when they want to give you a pay rise, regardless of whether you work hard or not. I just felt like I don't want to be this disgruntled person like I'm seeing right here in front of me 20 years later just because they're paying me well.
Right.
And so that's why I really needed to start my own business. And I also had a son so I was only 20 when I had my son. And so working a few years in the corporate world, I'm like, where's the flexibility? Where's the freedom? Like, I need this to raise a child. And so those were the reasons why I really wanted to get into entrepreneurship.
Wow. I love that. So what was your first business, the one that you semi-retired from, or did you have a business previous to that? Yeah,
definitely not. So the funny thing is, like, nowadays I always have to say no to a lot of business opportunities because I could just see so many and everything looks great. But at the time when you've never started a business before, you have no idea what to start. How do you even make up a product, or like what idea could I start? It was just like stuck. But then the thing about me is I'm the type that if you give me one opportunity, if you just hand me something, I'm just going to take it and go. And so the first opportunity that came was a nail polish company. Now, what happened was a friend sold nail polish. He had a beauty supply, gave me some. That day I said, oh, this is pretty good product. Asked that you can actually get it for $1 and made in Australia. My mind started to think, oh my God, maybe I could sell it for $15. And even if I just made $1 profit, there's 8 billion people here. Okay, half is women. My kind of naive.
Right.
I just worked it out that I was going to be a millionaire with this first business. But definitely not. It sucked the soul out of me. I hated nail polish. I didn't even want to put it on. I wish someone asked me, like, what was your passion? But I'm glad that I started that because it taught me marketing, trying to get the business online. I don't know how to build a website or marketing, so I had to outsource. And so all the skills that I learned from that business became that second business that became more successful, meaning I still have that business till today, which is working with offshore teams.
Love that. So that sounds like a lot of people's journey. Actually, we mentioned Michael Gerber before this call, and that's the story of the E-Myth. Is I think there's a lady that wants to open up like a bake shop or something because she loves baking pies, and then realizing that doing the technician work is very different than the business. Running a business. And so what were for you were some of the biggest challenges? Obviously you got to a comfortable place like where you're at now, but getting there, I'm sure there were some trials and tribulations. What were some of the bigger challenges that you faced?
Look, the first model that I had in my business was a marketing agency, and I sold a lot of fixed price projects and things were custom as well. So it was, what website do you want done? I quote it, and then I add a margin on top. And then when the project is finished, it stresses me out going, okay, how am I going to sell and get another client? And then I said yes to everything. So you want SEO? Sure, I'll just find the person. So the beauty in having being able to outsource is I can find talent for everything. Right. But it also meant that I was just custom making everything. Like, you want SEO? Okay, let me find an SEO specialist. And then I'm the middleman. And so I just felt like it wasn't really scalable. It's because I was the project manager trying to figure out the problem that they want, trying to find the people to match it. And even though I had a team to help me execute, it was still me not being able to go on holidays and not check my emails. Right. And when the projects don't go well, I'm liaising with the client. And so right. that model made me really question, okay, how do I make it easy for myself? And I said, okay, at the end of the day, the clients need the work done. And right. why am I in the middle? Why do I have to be the one project managing it? Maybe they can just start telling them what to do. And that's how I came up with the idea of Outsourcing Angel, which is still using offshore team, different talent, but I'm going to match you with the person so then you can customize and make changes to your whatever you want to do. But now you've got your own dedicated team member to work with you. And so that's how I was able to scale this business. In 3 years, it was a $1 million business. And I would say that it wasn't 3 years. It was all those other years of learning about entrepreneurship that made this business, you know, much easier.
Right. The 10-year overnight success.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Wow, I got to $1 million in 3 years, but that after all the days of shoveling dirt.
Yes.
So what would you recommend to someone who's starting out and struggling right now? If they're in it and they're doing everything custom, they're in feast famine where, hey, we got a client, lots of money to go around. Oh no, there's no money, no client. What would you recommend to someone?
Yeah. Interestingly, I just recently in the last 2 years went back into some custom consulting work thinking that we've maximized our recruitment idea and clients want more. They want to know how to like automate and systemize. And so we were offering that for 2 years only to realize that, oh my God, we're getting back into doing the hard stuff again, the stuff that needs a lot of brain work, a lot of going back and forth with clients. And so I think in business, it's always about testing and trying. It's only when you try and then you go, hang on, this is hard. And then you meet a business coach that goes to you, hang on, do you know that your current service is actually the money-making one that's easier? You should double down on that. You should actually expand and provide other services, meaning like different caliber of virtual assistants, different specialized skills, but you're good at recruitment. So why don't you stick to that? And so we were, oh my God, okay, we need to revamp that now. And so my advice for anyone is that I think it's important to understand your skill set, the pain point they're trying to solve, and then sticking to that scalable model and trying your best to avoid saying yes to every project and customizing. And so the coach that we worked with recently just asked us, it's like, what is your strength? What do you love to do? What do you feel like you do without even thinking twice? We're like, we love matchmaking. We love recruiting people. So he just told us to go back to doing that. And you love offshoring, or and why is it that you can't, you're only outsourcing to the Philippines? Does it matter whether they're from whatever countries? Yeah, you start to think like that. And so I have a lot of people coming to me loving the model that I do, which is outsourcing, and it's because it's a very scalable type business. But I always tell them to review their past and audit their life and go, what area did I work in? What experiences have I had? Was I in sales? What kind of industry was I working in? What if you were doing the same offering like me, but in that industry? You're going to succeed a lot more than trying to copy what I'm doing or copying what anyone else is doing. And so finding something that you love and something that fits you, you're going to last longer, because business is such a long game and there's a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I love that. I there's two quotes that you reminded me of. And one was that delegate everything that you can, so you're calling the shots, analyzing the stats, and communicating with staff, vendors, clients. And the other one was, this one I don't remember as clearly, but it was 7 figures is all about consistently selling the same outcome to a specific type of person. And I think that's really powerful, because that's essentially what you're saying. And you can have a gold, silver, bronze version of that outcome. But I wrote down one of the first things, because I always take notes. I'm a writer. When I'm looking away, I'm not on my phone. I'm a writer downer. I wrote down, stay away from custom work. That was the method, because it's tough, right? Custom this, because you can't train somebody else. It's hard to maintain quality control if you're figuring it out all the time. If you're going to go get your brain operated on by a surgeon, you don't want him to be figuring it out. Bro, you're going to have my, or her, you're going to have my skull cracked open. I hope you've practiced this and you're just doing what you did before successfully. So I think that's an important, a really important message.
100%. And I love that quote around doing the same thing and that seven-figure thing. Because one of the quote that a few business coaches have been saying to me is boring is good. Yeah. Sometimes you've been doing it for a while and you think it's getting boring or that you've maxed out. It's actually not. You're still thinking in that pillar, but you can still be creative within that pillar. But then just do boring. And the thing is, it can't be boring because if you start to have freedom from your own business, this is when you can have time to work out, to travel, to do other things. I'm sure we can fill our day with more peaceful activities, not just stressed business.
Yeah, you can go spend 3 hours at the gym if you want. There's all sorts of things that you can do. I like to say it like your business needs to be this black box that just solves a problem in the world. Like a dentist office, someone comes in crying and in pain on one side, they go through the black box, and on the other side, they have a beautiful smile and they're happy and shine. And then your goal is to save the world by helping as many people your black box can fix. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. And I think that's a really powerful message. The pioneers get the arrows, the sellers get the land. So it's better to try and figure out how to do your thing uniquely with the with your own mechanism and your own mission, your own purpose, than, hey, I'm going to, like what Elon Musk is doing, I'm going to send people to Mars. It's powerful if you can accomplish it, but maybe that needs to be the thing you develop once you've got, like you talked about, once you've got your roof and ramen. That's what me and my buddy used to call it, roof and ramen covered. When you got your roof and your cup of hot water noodles and an egg, and so you're not going to have like malnourishment problems, then you can do whatever. But in the beginning, what are some of the skills or behaviors that you think are important for a business owner to have or develop?
Yeah. I think it's about working on yourself, how far you can go with your business or with your happiness in life or anything you want to achieve. I feel like it just comes down to you. Like over the years, I feel like the more I worked with my life coach, figuring out my goals, my dreams, my limiting beliefs, and it really helped me to become a better person, better leader. So my business journey becomes more enjoyable. I can deal with challenges when there are conflict at work or when there is we're not meeting sales targets. It's how I react to that that really matters, because we are in business for a reason. We're in business for freedom, for happiness. We're not in business just to kill ourselves and be stressed. That's not our goal.
Right, but
along the way, there are challenges. And so my goal is just to really enjoy the journey and find ways or equip myself with ability to just be happy along the way. Right. And so that is why I think the skill set, I would say, is to be able to be so self-aware and then be willing to put in the work on yourself, not just working on your business and then going out there learning 10 strategies of AI and this and that. That's not what's going to change the needle. It's actually working on yourself that then it stems into lots of things. And now I've become a better leader. I used to have a lot of control issues and try to check all the work, and that got me stuck in the business. But then when I worked out that I had a control issue, I got let that go, and that's how I was able to free myself. Because even though you have team members, there's still aspects of yourself controlling it that is keeping you stuck.
I love that.
I used to say, I want to help people, but then I had fear of being a public speaker. And then I had to work with my life coach and go, what's going on in my mindset so I can get rid of that? And then I now just try to embrace it, because I realized through my coaching session that it's not about being a perfect speaker. It's about being an authentic speaker. So I'm just going to be me. And that's a great realization.
Yeah.
And so business is a mental game. It's a personal development game.
I love that. I agree 100%. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but at the beginning of the pandemic, I spent $50,000 to hire 10 assistants to help me go through all the academic literature, because everybody was arguing about the science of this and the science of that. And the man who raised me worked in applied physics and geology, hard sciences. And I had successes. I've helped some people make millions, but I've also had failures. And so I thought, what does the science have to say about business success? So we combed through all these studies, like hundreds, if not thousands of studies from all over the world, Harvard Business Review, studies out of Indonesia, Saudi Arabia, Australia, all over. And we identified 8 critical success factors. And people always are like, Daryl, of those 8, what's the one ring to rule them all type thing? And I always go, it's self-efficacy. It's self-efficacy. And so what you were talking about, it really speaks to that.
So
the 8 factors are self-efficacy, market intelligence, strategic planning, marketing strategy, sales strategy and skills, money management, business operations, and business intelligence. And everything fits into that, from cybersecurity, your hiring process, everything fits under those umbrellas. But I love everything that you said, and you very much demonstrated.
We're so aligned. Yeah. So glad that we're aligned.
Yeah. Even so, once we had the eight, we drilled into each one individually. And so what is self-efficacy? We identified, we looked at what's self-efficacy in business. It's specific personality traits, leadership skills, and disciplines. And so you talked about the leadership skills. What is leadership? That's self-awareness skills, communication, cooperation skills, emotional intelligence skills, adaptability. Mm. And you've talked about, you just seem very coachable. And I think that's a really important thing for people here to get, because some of the personality traits were locus of control, which is being a control freak about the things you can control. Mm. Extroversion, openness to experience, agreeableness, conscientiousness, and acceptance of criticism and feedback. Why do you think so many entrepreneurs have a hard time asking for help?
Yeah, it comes down to maybe the way they were brought up, the personality type. That's why it's whenever someone comes to me for some advice, after about a few minutes, I said, you know what? You've got some deeper work to do. Right. You're going to have to go see a coach, because there is some deeper underlying trauma or background, the way that you were growing up, that's making you have this kind of state of mind. Then it makes you have these stories about why things happen this way. And so then, unfortunately, until you debunk all that, then we can talk. Yeah. And so even, for example, my husband, he's so opposite to me. And for years, I try to give him all the proof. Hey, this book said this. You should wake up early and do this, do that. Does it work? No. And it's taken years, because at the end of the day, and sometimes people don't change until there's a problem, until their marriage breaks up, until the business crumbles, and then they feel like there's no way out, and then they reach for help. For me, it did come from that form. So over 10 years ago, it wasn't business that really killed me. It was relationships. I was in a lot of relationships. I didn't realize I was repeating the cycle of chasing love, because I didn't love myself. But then I attracted a lot of wrong guys, lots of broken relationships. And that's why I had a kid at this young age, at the 20 years old. And after one of this hard time with this guy who I really loved, and after a series of relationships, I'm saying, but it was the first time that I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. Mm. Like, that was when I felt like I was at my darkest, when I was like crying out for some help. And it was in that turning point that I was more receptive to, I'm not right anymore. I don't even know what to do anymore. It's like, someone help me. And so when Oprah popped up or Tony Robbins popped, I'm like, I've never heard of them before. I'm pretty sure they existed before. I've never saw them. Right. And everything they were saying, I became more receptive. I started to learn. And then I practiced a lot of the law of attraction and goal setting and all the things that I've never learned before or never took notice before. And here I am practicing all those things. And then guess what? My life started to change. Mm. But when you're so blinded by your own thinking that you know everything, this is how life works, you can control everything, you should just choose a better guy next time.
Right.
And you just work on based on what you know until you hit the rock bottom. After that experience, I have realized that I don't know everything. And that's why I love reading books. I love being open-minded. I love being challenged. People get to that stage at different times. So, I hope that through examples and stories that people might go, oh, I don't want to get to that point where I'm crying out for help and change. Yeah.
I think it's great. If their goal was to go to the Olympics and win a gold medal in something, you could have two different people. One is going to read some books, watch some YouTube videos, and figure it out in the garage with a buddy. The other one's going to go get a coach or multiple coaches that have won gold medals in that sport at the Olympics and have coached other people to win gold medals in that sport at the Olympics. And both people have the potential to get there. Mm-hmm. But it's really clear who's going to get there with fewer aches, pains, and setbacks and frustration. And they say there's nothing new under the sun. And I think that's a really powerful statement that you've made. And I think that's part of why you've had the success that you've had, is that the humility and that willingness. Like, success is a team sport. And I love that. Yeah. Where do you see the future of things going? Sorry. Yeah.
The future of things in general,
because of an outsourcing agency, outsourcing angel, and there's obviously AI's on the horizon. There's geopolitical things at play. There's economic things happening. Purchasing power is changing in different ways in different countries. What are some of the things that you're looking towards for the next maybe 5-10 years?
Yeah. Look, I think globalization is just going to get more and more. Like, the whole outsourcing used to be so foreign to people, but now it is a way of life. Mm-hmm. So time and location freedom is so important for not just people in my industry, but even other business owners. I'm seeing that they are seeing a better way to run businesses. So I know a lot of people who are in different types of traditional business or different kinds of business going, you know what, I want to exit out of that. And the business that I want to get into, I want work-life balance. I want time and location freedom. And so that is why I see that if there's even a lot more entrepreneurs, after they're selling their business, they want to get into consulting, coaching, just things that they can control their time more and not get into the typical business that requires you and resources and kind of capital. That's in my world, that's what I'm witnessing. And I love AI because it's, to me, it's not scary in a sense where it's replacing people. It's making the right people more powerful. Like I used to hate writing, and now I just love that it gives me some more confidence. And I still know what I want to write, but with ChatGPT, I'm more empowered. My own virtual staff, there are certain strengths that like herself, she wasn't that great at writing, but now she's able to improve that. So it's just going to make us work faster. Mm. Now, one caveat is that the more faster these tools are allowing us to do, the more I'm on a mission to wake up entrepreneurs to go, hey, you now still need to prioritize other parts of your life. Because what happens is when emails came out or when internet came out, it's like, oh yeah, life should be easier now. But it's just made work more faster. You fill up your day with more work and then you have more projects to do and your life still sucks. And so there are two groups of entrepreneurs I'm noticing, ones that have realized that, oh my God, this money chasing game never ends. Right. My life is still the same after 20 years in the same business. It needs to change. I realize that I'm not happy. I need to have work-life balance and I want to do something about it. And there's the other group of people who isn't awake yet, who still thinks that the more faster I work, the more people I hire, the more goals I'm going to hit, the more money I'm going to get. And then one day I will sell up and then enjoy life. But that someday never ends. Might never come as we see 46-year-old, 50-year-old people dying suddenly. You don't know. And so there is a lot of talk because this is maybe it's my focus as well. I love work-life balance and I'm hearing a lot. I'm not imagining because even the latest videos coming from Stephen Bartlett, the Diary of the CEO or any book that I'm reading right now, I am hearing advocacy for this whole work-life balance because people, our generation are starting to realize, no, I'm not going to work hard till I'm 65, 70 years old and then enjoy my life because what kind of quality of life is that at that time when I can't even walk, you know, I don't have the energy.
Yeah, no, I agree with 100%. I love what you said about how the money chasing game never ends. There's no summit to this mountain. And I think there's a lot of people that are waking up where they dedicated maybe their first 20, 30 years of their career to reaching the top of their career. But now that they're looking and they're, what about family? What about finding a life partner? What about this other thing? So I think that's a really powerful statement. There was a movie I saw as a kid that had a huge impact on me. It's called Groundhog Day. And basically it starts off this guy. Have you seen it?
I heard of that. Okay.
I think it's a great movie. And it starts off this guy, he's like a shady character and people like him, but he's annoying and obnoxious. And he wakes up one day and he's reliving the day he just had. And he's stuck in this time loop of reliving the same day over. And the movie is about him stuck in this time loop. They recently did it with one of the Wayans brothers, but he was stuck in an elevator or something. It was a bit different. But in this one, in Groundhog Day, eventually he just like submits that this is his fate. I don't know why. I don't have no idea. I'm not getting any answers, but if I have to live this day over and over, I'm going to make it the best day ever. And he eventually improves his character and he becomes a wonderful person. And suddenly one day he wakes up and it's the next day.
Oh, wow. I gotta watch that.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And when I saw that as a kid, it made me think, what would be the 24-hour day I would have to live every day to love my life when I'm 80, who I've become, what I've built, what I've accomplished? And you look around outside, you see the birds and the squirrels and the ants, like they don't get holidays. There's no vacation for them. Like the bird's not going to go, excuse me, Mr. Cat, can you come back tomorrow? I'm having a mental health day. Like that doesn't exist. So they have to make the most of their 24 hours every day. And then not everything in the jungle kills you and eats you. Some things are parasites. They attach to you. So like social media, like if people did an audit of their life and their day, is that I'm not against social. I use it, but I use it in a specific place, specific time, in a specific way. I don't have it on my phone. My phone doesn't ring. It doesn't vibrate. Doesn't beep. Doesn't anything. Cause it's my tool to interact with the world. It's not supposed to be a portal for people to jump into my life and interrupt anybody. Anyways, I love that message that you had. Like, money chasing never ends. So you really have to think about, what do I need to be fulfilled? Health, wealth, love, happiness. And how do I get there? And to be willing to accept that you might need teamwork to get, what a concept. You might need teamwork to get there.
And here's the thing. I am married to the entrepreneur that was not awake, to the work-life balance. And for 12 years, I was just watching my husband, hoping that when they reach to this level in business or when they make that money, then he'll have more time for the family. And I didn't know any better. So I'm just watching and I'm also believing in this story that he was telling me. And it was years and years later that I'm like, what? This thing never arrives, because you're going to have to, when you have a bigger business, you have more people, you have more problems. It's just never end. And so it got to the point where I said, no, you're going to be like me, where one day, like what I did a few years ago was I asked myself with my life coach, what does success mean for me as a business owner? What does success mean as a mum, as a wife? And then what does my ideal day look like? Like, how do I actually want to spend my day? And then when you start to set goals other than your business goals, you have other things that you need to accomplish in life. And when you fill up your life with important priorities now, it's going to push you to actually run your business more efficiently. You're going to think, you know what, I'm not going to do that task. That's going to take me away. I can't do the other important task. So then even though I have team members, I became a lot more optimized. I'm looking at my tasks and I'm like, do I really need to do that? I'm going to get my assistant to do it. My assistant's busy. Right. Let's go and get you someone else. I'm not going to get caught up into working long hours again, because my diary now is filled with other things.
Right.
But when you don't work on your life, your diary will still be full, but will be full with new projects and new goals to achieve in your business.
Yeah. I love that. And time blocking periods, making appointments with yourself for certain things. Another option that and this is something nobody's talking about. I've never heard anyone else talk about this, but it is a major goal for my wife and I. We have a 3-year plan to basically be at zero cost living. We're not giving up our businesses. We're not giving up this other stuff, but we're building a house and it's a self-sufficient home. So that means it's solar. Mm. The rain has a rainwater collection system. It waters the garden by the shower. Like you do your dishes, you do the laundry, you have a shower, the plumbing goes through, waters the garden, and then it's taken and then it goes away. Cause the pollution in that stuff is a soap, which is nitrogen and phosphate in it, which is fertilizer. Mm. So you can use that. So in 3 years, we're going to pay off the land. Like we've got a 3-year plan to have the land paid off, solar power, rainwater collection. We're in the tropics, so there's no snow here. So you can grow food year round. You can have some chickens and they can just run around the yard. Nobody feeds their chickens here. They just eat bugs. And if you have a chicken, it gives you 5 or 6 eggs a week. So if you have 2, 3, 4 chickens, you've got eggs every day. Fruit trees. I've got a papaya tree in my yard. I do nothing for it. I do nothing. I don't even look at it. And yet 2-3 times a month, our nanny is like, here, Daryl. And she's got fresh sliced papaya from the tree. So we're going to plant a food forest, like all these fruit trees in the yard. I've already planted 800 dragon fruit. Like everybody is, like you mentioned, they're so focused on making more money, but what about setting yourself up so you don't need a lot?
Yes.
On top of that, like
that's a good point.
Like I'm going to chase the millions, sure. But at the same time, what am I doing with the money?
I'm
just going to get out of the rat race. I'm just going to just opt out. That's it. I'm out. Going to have the land paid off. Going to have a yard full of fruit trees. 700. We got three lots. I've got all these fruit trees. Got some chickens. I got rainwater if I need it. I got solar power. Like I'm good. Like, I'm good. It's not, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to retire. But you talked about that. For some people, if they feel they need some stability, like get some get a hydroponic kit, learn about that stuff. Nobody talks about this. And I think it's a really important message that needs to go out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you have that clarity. You're like, what does wealth or success mean to me? And it's very simple. And sometimes we don't ask ourselves. So a funny story is, for years, I wanted 5 kids. I don't know why. I just had a number in my head, and I associated the more kids, the more happier my family was going to be. Until one day, because so many people keep on telling me, don't have 5 kids. It's not a good idea, but you don't know me. Until one day I just went, you know what? Let me do a pros and cons about why I want it. And then it was so clear that the cons outweighed the pros. The pros was like, they're cute. So I ended up with 3 kids and I was happy and I was fulfilled because I asked myself, why do I want this?
Right.
And same goes as in business or anything that you want to have. Why? What is the purpose of it? Because the thing is, you don't need more money, because the thing is, what happened is that you buy more things. I've seen houses where there's 3 or 4 living spaces, and guess what? Your family's disconnected.
They're empty.
You don't even Yes. If connection and time is your priority, you can actually do that now. You start to carve out some time, pick up your kids early, take school holidays off, whatever it is, you can actually do it now. And so I'm on a journey to where I'm trying to encourage people to do that. And so even my husband, what I'm trying to show him is that, see, you started to take some time off doing some of the family things that you love, or that you said you love your family. Did you see that your business didn't crumble? It's right. still growing.
Yeah.
So it's, and once they get used to that and go, okay, I trusted that, I had faith that this was going to work, and now it's working. And so then they can let go more. So I think it's just that first step of starting to fill up their calendar with other things that are important. And then they will also see that when you have more energy, like when you work out, your brain is sharp, you feel good, you can work more. Sometimes I'm caught up in a business, but then I'm like, you know what? I still need to go to the gym. I go to the gym, and guess what? I have a light bulb moment. I thought of an idea, or I listened to a podcast. And so then, because sometimes I think, if I'm not working, I'm not being productive. I'm not, business isn't moving, but it is going to move when you have a better idea. Because what happened is, if you're busy working, you could be busy working, climbing on the wrong ladder. You could be on the wrong strategy. You walk away, go out there, meet someone, and they go, what are you doing? You're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You could have saved yourself working all those hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say, I don't need to win the race. I just need to make sure I'm running the right races, and I'm in the top, I'm in the top 50%. As long as I'm in the top 50% and I'm running the right races, then it should all be okay. I think that's such a powerful message, because so many people, they're doers, and they feel that they need that satisfaction of doing. And it's a disconnect from, I almost feel like it's a disconnect from farming and from working the land as we did. Obviously I'm biased, but I feel like so many of us grow up in cities now, and we live in such an instant gratification society that we forget the whole concept of, I planted this seed and I watered it, or it's this season, because businesses have seasons too. So like I had a martial arts school once upon a time, and it didn't, I could kill myself in the summertime, but no one's signing up in the summer. So it's like, it's understanding the seasonality of things. There's a season to things as well. And so sometimes people are killing themselves, but maybe it's that season for your business. Maybe you needed to plan better, so you do a different business in the summer, or you don't do business, you go on holiday. There's just so much people that they're just so busy doing it, and they just, they're like, they can't separate the forest from the trees. And I think that's a really powerful message you're talking about. I feel like what you're talking about is people, helping people live a more fulfilling life. To obviously, they need to have some sort of way to trade with the community around them, but to not make them the focal point of it, to have systems and people and processes in place where collectively you can handle and generate more money. Like when McDonald's is never, sorry, Susan needed to get her hair done, so drive-thru's closed today. That doesn't happen, because they've got, they serve, they provide a specific, and any menu you go to, it's got a Big Mac, it's got chicken nuggets. Like, they have, these are the things that we do for people. This is the outcome we produce. And then they have scalable, trainable systems for it, so they can have a team of people to provide that result.
Yeah.
I love your message. I think it's,
it's needed. And look, I still love the game of business. Like, I still want to grow my business, but all I'm trying to do is, while I'm growing it, I'm not going to neglect the other important areas of my life.
Right.
So And as long as you're not doing anything wrong in those areas, you can go for whatever you want. But if you are feeling the pain, you're like, your wife is complaining that you're not there for them. The kids don't see you. You wish you could be there for the kids, but you can't because the business there. Then you need to do something about it. But hey, everything is all manageable here because you've, you know, put effort in all those areas. Sure. Yeah. In the leftover time. Because here's the thing. What happens is people usually leave the what do you call it? Whatever's left.
Yes.
The priority. So their priorities and values really don't align.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got such a great message. I think that's so important. And a lot of people don't realize that even if you have a job is really just a business with one product, your time, and one customer, your boss. Like that's,
So
what are you doing for them? Is it a consistent thing? How many others need that done? Can you find a way to maintain quality and teach other people to do it? And then turn, and now you've got a business and it's the whole teamwork. It's the whole together. We are greater than any of us on our own. And I think that's, I love your message. And I want to go back to the AI thing for a minute. Cause I love how you just have no fear. And I agree with your attitude 100%. They said when tractors came out that farmers were going to be replaced, we wouldn't need farmers. And then when calculators came out, they said, we're not going to need like bookkeepers and accountants. Cause we got calculators and people can do it for themselves. And then spreadsheets came out. They said, we're not going to need an accounting department. We can just have a sheet with all the formulas. And it's just been this endless chasing of, we're not going to need people. We're not going to, oh, wait. And I think AI is just a better tool. I think there's videos, footage of the moment of conception when the sperm and the egg meet. And there is a flash of light that no one can explain. Scientists try to say it's a release of zinc, but I don't know if that necessarily explains why it's a flash of light like that. And they can't replicate it in a lab. Light is literally the spark of life. There literally is a spark of life. And that spark of life has a desire for survival, we'll say, okay? And so I just don't think, unless we as a species decide to go, here you go, machine, you take the universe, we're going to roll over and die. I think that someone is going to be like, get out of the way, you sloth. And they're going to want to drive the bus. And the bus is still just a tool. We are already cyborgs right now. I'm using a microphone that's got wires connected to a laptop. And we're in different countries on opposite sides of an ocean. We're already cyborgs. I just don't buy the whole, we're going to get replaced. I don't. I think they're just better tools. I think there's dangerous tools. People have blown themselves up making tools. But I still just buy it that it's a tool. And like with the spreadsheets and the calculators, it made the productive accountants more productive and the non-productive ones, it gave them a forcing function to find something else, their ikigai, because they were.
Yeah, I think it's just opportunity because whatever tools come out, you want to be the first one to know how to use it because other people are still figuring out. So if you're always in front of the game, then you'll never lose out. It's actually giving you more opportunity. Like YouTube has been around for so long, but has entrepreneurs really taken advantage? No, they're still a lot far behind. There's a lot more people posting other random videos. If you embrace that tool, you could have made it serve the business more. Don't be scared of anything.
I love that. Now, for people that are trying to figure out work-life balance, are there any sort of habits that you feel like you have to have as an entrepreneur? Okay, fill your life. Somebody doesn't take the advice and just disappear for 7 weeks. What are the things that you have to do as a business owner on a daily, weekly basis?
Yeah. So I love the book called The One Thing, Gary Keller, I think. And it always makes me think, what is the one thing that if I did that, it makes everything easy? Because the thing is, you should work out, that you should spend some time meditating or journaling. But the problem is you don't have time because you're busy. So what is the one thing that you could do that makes everything else easy? And so the habit that I found that changed the game was waking up early. So for many years, I started waking up at 4 a.m. until COVID around then, I started waking up at 3 a.m. So that's my hack. Now I have been able to buy back more time. And no, I'm not working more. What I got is I get to have more time working on the things that I love. So in the morning, I wake up, I journal because it's healing. I really need to purge all my thoughts out there. And then I would pray and meditate on my visions. And those are the things that fills my soul. And if there's no time, I can't do that. And then that's why you get caught up with busyness. And then by the time, and then I realized also that my brain is so smart at that time that something that might take hours to think during the day. In the morning, it takes me 5-10 minutes. I'm like, it's just comes out. There's no writer's block in the morning. Right. And so then I just realized how productive that was, that I continue to wake up early. And then because I've got all these things done, I felt like I've already won the day. At 6:30, I feel relaxed and I can go to the gym. 6:30 or 7, I'm done. Like, I can go to the gym. It's really hard for people to go to the gym when they've got all these things to do, all these tasks. And what am I working on? What am I going to do? And so then that is the habit process that I do that allows all the other habits easy. And so during the day, if I went travel, if I go for lunches or I go networking, I've already got the main important things done, and that's it.
Yeah.
I was waking up early.
I'm all in. I call it, you need to have a sunrise and a bedtime ritual that happen at the same time every day.
100%.
Because people ask me, they're like you, because I'm like you. I'm up at 3, 4 a.m. And people go, how do you get up at 4 a.m.? And I'm like, you don't go to bed at midnight. That's the, it's like you go to bed 9 hours before, because then you have time to fall asleep and get your sleep. And if you're pushing it late, if you got a 9 hour block and you're in bed an hour late, you're not like, not.
And look at this. We're both very high energy people. So people always ask me like, how do you have so much energy? If you wake up so early or whatever else, shouldn't you be tired? That's all our belief. Our belief is that we need to eat breakfast. The belief is we need 8 hours sleep. There's all these just belief that we've been told to. I didn't know any better. I experimented with 4 a.m. Well, first of all, 5 a.m. I didn't jump to 4. Experiment with 5. I'm like, this didn't give me much time. I experiment with 4 and then now experiment with 3. And so it was through experimentation that I worked out that, hey, I'm still full of energy and I got all these things done and I'm happier. And so this is what I'm going to do. Yeah. Don't tell people that, oh, that's not normal. That's weird. Yeah. That's just limiting beliefs. And so I think that's why I just want people to like forget about everything. Just always have a beginner's mind and go, okay, if Lynn can do it, if Dara could do it, maybe I could try. And don't try and go straight into the 3 a.m. thing. Yeah. Try slowly. But just know that if we can do it, you can do it. We're just human beings as well.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes to self-awareness, because some people, like, you can have the best productivity hacks and schedule and you can book your day in 10-minute blocks. But one thing people don't talk about is energy management. Like, for me, I'm useless at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for anything other than talking to my staff and checking stuff. Yeah. If you want me to mentally get something done, or if you're trying to trick me, the best time of day to fool me is 2 in the afternoon. Like, my brain is just, it's just like a 1 hour thing where it's like when you used to defrag your computer. By starting your day, you energize yourself. And then, like you say, by making time for these things, you're more alive and in love with your life. And even the fitness thing, if you can only run 1 kilometer and then you like, oh, I got to lay down, take a nap. That's your energy gas tank you bring to the day. If I snap my fingers and now you can run 10 kilometers, you have 10 times more energy to bring to every moment of your day. And the same thing, even if it's not exercise, when you do things that you love, and you like vibrate with energy, and that carries you through some of the difficult tasks.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're missing.
I love that you understand about energy management, because in the morning you have the willpower and you can work out, but anytime you leave it towards the end of the day, you start to tell yourself, I'm tired, I don't have the energy. So it becomes harder. And so we have to understand our biology, our human default, the way we work, and then work with it. The way it is. And then because people think that the more I grind, the more I'm going to get productivity, but it's actually not, because you can still have all that work, but all those hours is just a waste. You might as well do something else. You might as well go for a walk and refresh yourself, because your brain isn't going to be that smart during that time anyway.
Yeah. They've done studies. If you do a 10-minute walk before doing an exam, you'll score higher. They've done all sorts, because things that don't move have smaller brains. Like, our brain is fed oxygen and nutrients by our blood. And so once you've been sitting long enough, your circulation slows. And if I had a car and I never drove it anywhere, do I need brakes? No. Do I need a horn? No, not really. Do I need an engine? No. Do I need an exhaust pipe? No. Do I need to be able to turn the wheels left and right? No. Do I need a steering wheel? No. Like, all these things you don't need. So animals that don't move have smaller brains. And that's a huge thing. Taking those breaks and coming back, people might say, oh, I'm going to grind for 12 hours a day, but how are they really, what kind of focus and intensity are they bringing to it? And especially for me, if I wake up and I do the hard stuff first, which is putting me first, suddenly everything else becomes easier. It's all a downhill roll. So Lynn, this has been a great interview. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
No, you've asked me really great questions. Maybe if you want to know what's my purpose in life,
okay,
maybe I could come up. What am I doing?
Yeah.
I just feel I'm that, I just want to be that person that learns everything, experience everything in life so that I could give back to others and inspire them to be their best. Even if my mom used to say, why do you have to be like a dummy, one of those test dummies for everything in life? It used to work against me because obviously I did tests and did a lot of dumb things. But you know what? It serves me now. I feel like I have that resilience, that courage. I might as well use myself for that. And I'm going to be that first person that tries the work-life balance and still be able to grow the business. And I'm going to do that. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to try to get a six-pack the best way that I can while I'm still being a great mom and a great wife. And when I get there, I will show you how as well, because sometimes people need to see to believe, whereas I can work the other way, where I can believe first and then things manifest. If I have to be that person, sure, I'll be that test dummy and learn as much as I can, do it as much as I can, so that I can really show it and I can help as many people as possible.
I love that. And if people want to learn more, if they want to get in touch, what are some of the best ways for them to reach out?
You can simply Google my name. I should be across YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, all over there. And outsourcingangel.com is my website for my company. So we'll always love a chat. Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So go check out outsourcingangel.com.au. That's outsourcingangel.com.au for Australia. Or you can Google her. As she mentioned, it's Lynn, Linh Podetti, E-T-I. That's Linh Podetti. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an honor and a pleasure knowing you've got your own direct reports, your own kids, your own following. Thank you for coming and sharing with my audience tonight so we can all do a little bit better.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.